Rabbi said, "Guten Erev Shabbos Kodesh." Parshas Nasa, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Nasa, Topshin Pei Dalid, and we're holding still in the aura of the Chag HaShavuos, which we all participated in. We all received nourishment, and we all had an opportunity to raise up our sights and to raise up our minds and to be mekabel the Torah again from Har Sinai. For those of you in Chutz Laretz, there was 2 days. For us in Eretz Yisrael, there was 1 day. I myself was zoche to be together with the Machon Shlomo Talmidim, with the learning at night. I was able to give shiurim to the Olam and to daven early in the morning v'sikin, like many of you. And first year Talmidim and joined together with thousands and thousands of Yidden that walked to the Kosel in the middle of the wee hours of the morning. And I understand that the Kosel was packed many years ago in Ner Yaakov. I used to sometimes join the Talmidim there. And it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. But now as we get younger, or facetiously as we're getting older, it's not as easy to walk back and forth. But it's a great, great lesson and a great, great opportunity in the Achdus of Klal Yisrael. People coming from all walks of life, gathering together. And this year especially, we realize what we're facing, what we're faced with, the obstacles, the tremendous sinna, tremendous hatred that we're surrounded with, both here in Eretz Yisrael, the horrific, horrific war, which is beyond description, and up north, the war is literally, you know, taking its toll. People are injured. People have been wounded. Houses have been bombed. Fields have been destroyed. And many, many people, hundreds of thousands of people, have not been able to live in their homes, as we've said previously, for months upon months upon months. And the only thing we can think about is that this is really stated in the Gemara. The Gemara says that before Mashiach comes, HaGalil Yecharev. It's hard to even say those words, but it says the Galil will be destroyed. We hope that there should be no loss of life. We hope that we'll be able to be victorious. We hope that Rabbeinu Shlomo will give siyata d'shmaya to the heads of the country, to the people that are fighting the battles, to the soldiers, and to the B'nai Torah that are sitting and learning and are the spiritual defense. And we should be zeichem mitz Hashem to Yeshuas and the Chamas. And we heard, as we mentioned last week, of the saving of the four hostages, that we were able to bring them back to Eretz Yisrael, to bring them back to their families. And what can I say? There's so much that we have to daven for, that the rest of the Shvuyim should be brought back. So what's the lesson that we can walk away with after we learned, after we were mekabel the Torah on Shavuos night? So what kind of lessons do we take with us? How do we continue the Kabbalah HaTorah? So I think when I mentioned that this upcoming Matzah Shabbos is going to be the yahrzeit of the great Gadol Reb Gershon Adelson, the Zatzal, who was the Rosh Hashiva of Panovich for so many years. Literally, he kemat lived in Panovich for his entire life as a Talmud, and then as a Rebbe, and then as a Rosh Hashiva, and then as one of our Gedolim. And we want to say over a few things that he mentioned and a few stories about him as well to get chizuk. But we'll start out with the Parsha's Nasai, and it's brought down as far as Magdash and the Chiddush HaRim already brings down that this week's Parsha is the largest, has the most amount of psukim in the Torah. It has the most amount of midrashim in the Torah. It also has the most amount of the Zohar Kaddish. There's no more packed parsha in the entire Torah than Parsha's Nasai. It's jam-packed and it's so large. And the question is why? And the Chiddush HaRim already pointed out that this is to be meramis to us, that if the Chag Matan Torah, there's the ribui of Torah is now being pashet. It is spreading forth. The Torah spreads forth. We're zoicha with the Kabbalah HaTorah to take the Torah and to spread it forth, to take it to the next level. And that's what we have to do. We have to be mechazik ourselves to continue the Torah. That's the takeaway. The takeaway is that Parshas Nasai is the continuation of the message of everything that we were makabel in the Torah in Har Sinai. So brought down that the Chafetz Chaim mentions that in this week's parasha we have the parasha of the Nazir, and the pasuk says Kodesh Yeh, that it should be a Kodesh. And the Gemara darshins in Masech the Nazir a gematria. The Gemara says Stam Nazirus is Lamed Yoim. Stam Nazir, when a person makes a Nazirus, accepts upon himself the laws of Nazirus, so then Stam Nazirus, without saying how much it is, it's Lamed Yoim. How do we know that? Because the words Yeh, the gematria of Yeh is 30. So we see a gematria in the Torah. So first of all, we see that there's a psak halacha based upon a gematria. Gematria is not just a nice chassidish word. Gematria is one of the ways that the Torah is nidrash. But the Gemara, the Chafetz Chaim says that there's kemat three or four blot of Gemara. The Gemara is just discussing the inyan of Stam Naziris Lamed Yod based upon this gematria. From one little gematria, from one small gematria, that the kulmas, the pen that was written on it, the paper that was written on it, the for Deiri Deiris, we are mechadish chidushim based upon just one gematria. Kolshkein v'kolshkein, there are parashiyos in the Torah that we can get diamonds. We can raise ourselves up. We can raise our heights up. So this week we continue in the parasha, and what do we say? We speak about the three sons of the Bnei Levi. And we know there's Gershon, Kahas, and Merari. And in this week's parasha, it speaks about Bnei Gershon. And what are the Bnei Gershon? What do they do? So anyone that was from 30 years and onwards until 50, they were the people that used to carry parts of the Mishkan when they would travel. What do they carry? They carried the coverings, the Urias, the Michseyu, the Tachash, the Kalei HaChotzer, the Mesach Pesach Shara Chotzer, everything that was used to cover the Beis HaMikdash, this was prepared, this was carried by Bnei Gershon. And this was the Avoda of the Mishpachas Bnei Gershuni. And who was their Mishmeris? The Mishmeris was Isamar Ben Aaron HaKoyen, Itamar. And then it speaks about Bnei Merari, which is another of the family of Levi. They also, every single one of them, had, what is their job? Their job was to carry the heavy duty items, the Amudei HaChatzir, the Ateneim, the Seidoisom, all the different clay, all the different heavy coverings of the Kalim. This was the Aveda of Bnei Mishpachos Bnei Merari. We pointed out in previous years the obvious question that there's one other member of the tribe of Levi, and that is Kohas. And Kohas also carried, but Kohas is mentioned in last week's parasha, parasha by Midbar. And over there it says, Nasa is Rosh B'nai Kohas B'nai Levi. And what does he carry? So first of all, he carries also the Peroiches and the Kisui or Tachash of the different Kalim of the Shulchan. He carries the Shulchan. He carries the Aron. He carries the Menorah. He carries all of the important kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. And the question they raise is, why is it separate? Why do we have that in Parshas Bamidbar? In Parshas Nasa, we speak about Bnei Gershon. And then the obvious question, and these questions are asked by the Klei Yoker, that L'chor, we know that Gershon was the oldest, he's the Bechor. So the why is Gershon placed after Kohas? And the Klei Yoker says, a nominal teretz, that the lesson that the Torah is teaching us, that there's different dargas in the Avodas Hashem, but the highest darga that a person can reach is the ones that are carrying the Torah, the Lomdei Torah. And who was that? That was Kohas. Kohas, they were the ones that were machzik in the Lomdei Torah. And Limud HaTorah is the highest level. For sure, there's other important things, and each one is important, the Torah mentions it's important. But there's almost like a separation between the men and the boys. The highest level is the people that are Lomdei Torah. And why is this so? Because the Pasuk says, Yikarehi Mipninim, the Torah is more precious than precious pearls. And we know there's three kesarim. There's the kesukuna, there's the kesashem toiv, but the kesatayra is oilal gabayim, the kesatayra, Rabbi Isaiah, to have the kesatayra. And the kesatayra is hefker for every single person. You don't necessarily have to be a kohen gadol. In fact, the Gemara says, mamzer talmud chacham is kodem lekohen gadol am oretz. So we see an amazing, amazing thing. That's why the Torah put kos first, because the Torah didn't want to put gershon, because the person might have made a mistake, and the person might have thought, well, you know why b'nei gershon, why they're carrying the aron and the menorah, because they're the bechor, and perhaps one would make a mistake and think, oh, the Torah is only shaykh to a person that has the highest yichus, person's a bechor. The answer is no. The Torah wants to separate. The Torah tells us that kohos, who wasn't the oldest, but he was zoicha to carry the Torah, he was actually machzik in the Torah, because every single person has a chelik of the Torah. And this is a phenomenal, phenomenal message for all of us in today's world, that if we want to understand that the highest thing that a person can do in the world of Torah is to be from the Laim de Torah, from the machzik of the people of Amudi HaTorah, and at the same time, every other person that's doing other things, chesed and kindness and tefillah, every person has a place. And that's why there were different tribes. Each person was doing a different element. I mentioned at Shavuos night to one of the Talmidim a story which I heard, you know, here in Eretz Yisrael, we've had during the, right before Erev Shavuos, there were a lot of hachnasa sefer Torah in our little shchuna in Harnov. It's gavaldik a simcha to see. Now the children get out and everyone's dancing in order to mechabed the Torah. There was a story about a person in America, who's a very famous Jewish lawyer, who donated a Sefer Torah to a particular yeshiva and in memory of his parents. And he belonged to a big law firm, and he invited members of the law firm who weren't necessarily Jewish to come and to participate and to see, you know, the honor that was being given. So it was one of the senior members of the law firm came, and he saw the dancing, and he saw the lights, and he saw the torches, and he saw the way people were dancing with the Torah, and then they went into the Beit Knesset. And then afterwards, they have the minig is to have a Suda. So he decided that he was also at the Suda, he was invited to the Suda. When he came to the Suda, the person that had donated the Sefer Torah sat him up front, because he was a very important person. And he put on one of these satin kippahs on top of his head. And then there were different rabbanim that were speaking. And I guess the person that was the honoree, the one that gave the Sefer Torah, also spoke. And this particular distinguished old non-Jewish lawyer said to his friend, said, listen, I want to say a few words also. So he said, listen, okay, for sure. I didn't ask him to speak, but he knew he was a respectful person. So he got up and he said, listen, I want to tell you. And he was wearing his kippah, like, you know, it was like falling off of his head. He had a full mane of head, beautiful white hair. He was a very handsome person. And he said, and this person, he was not just a senior member of the firm. He had been, besides being a lawyer his whole life, he had been a judge. He was a distinguished judge. I don't know if he was a Supreme Court judge, but he was in the law system his entire life. And that's what he said. He said, I want to tell you something. I've been involved in jurisprudence. I've been involved with the concept of judicial matters my entire life. I went to a very prestigious university. Perhaps he graduated from Harvard Law. And I started out being a defender and then a prosecutor. And I opened up a practice. And then I became a member I was a judge. And eventually, after I finished being a judge, I became part of this other law firm. And I have to tell you what my feelings are about the event which I participated in today. He says, I'm going to tell you, in my book, there are three types of people when it comes to the concept of law in the United States of America. The majority of the people, they look at law as a bother. You know what I mean? It's it's like a bone in the throat. You know, I wish I could get rid of it. I wish I didn't have to follow all the laws, but you know what? I don't want to go to jail. I don't do anything which is going to get me into problems. So it's like the law is like a barrier. It's like I have to get by it. So I, you know, my respect is I don't want to go to jail. That's really what it is. And he says, then you have the criminals. The criminals, they don't care about the law. So they're the people that get locked up. Then there's another person. There's like a law-abiding citizen. Law-abiding citizen, he says, no, the laws are important because without the laws, he didn't say these words, but that's what the Mishnah says, Ish Chayim Lo. If it wouldn't be for the law system, then there wouldn't be any balance in the world. Everyone would just take the law into their own hands. So we have to have a judicial system. We have to have a police force. We have to have a jail system. And people have a healthy respect for the law, because the law creates a society which is able to withstand things. We see the world today. The world today, unfortunately, is not built. We see what's happening in the world. See the ugly head of anti-Semitism. We see the subways. The screaming Zionists, get off the subways. But it's scary. But let's continue with this story. And he says, then there's a third type, and that's my type. My type is that, no, when I look at the law system, I have the highest regard for the law system. The law system this was implanted by our forefathers, you know, the Ben Franklin, everybody else. There's the Constitution, there's the judicial law. These things are the highest importance. I look at the law system as being the most important structure in Western society. And therefore, by me, I have high regard for the law system. But I want to tell you something. Today I learned something which I never, ever imagined. You know, for all of the high regard that I have in my life, I never, ever saw people that they take their book of laws, they take their scrolls, you can say the Sefer Torah, and they dance with them, they have joy with them, they're exuberant with them, they kiss it, they hug it. Rabbi, this non-Jewish person was able to get a glimpse of what we are zoche to have our entire lives. When we were sitting on Leil Shavuos and we were learning up the whole night, and we had the laning, and we had Rus, and we had Akdamas, and every single Shabbos, and every single day of our lives, when we have Achmas Sefer Torah, we kiss the Sefer Torah, we hug the Sefer Torah. Simchas Torah at the time when we have joy, the joy of the Torah. The Torah is our joy. The Torah is Kihem Chayenu Erech Yomeinu Hem Nege Yomam V'Loila. And this is the message that this guy was able to see, but something we should take into ourselves. Ah, Rabbi Isai, in Gershon Edelstein, his first yard sale will be this Matzah Shabbos. He was a person who really depicted this element. It was Kihem Chayenu Erech Yomeinu Hem Nege Yomam V'Loila. He had joy from the Torah. He said, "There's nothing more important than the learning of the Torah, the teaching of the Torah." At the same time, he was a very well-balanced person. The pictures of him going to the electric box on Erev Shabbos and fixing up the electricity. He had a generator later on, but he was very practical. He was very giving. His family members, everything was always. They came to discuss with him things, and each child, each grandchild, each Ur Enikel got a special relationship with him. And he used to sing Zemiris on Shabbos. And I saw some stories how he used to speak about the importance of Zemiris on Shabbos. And he used to say that the Zemiris on Shabbos, it's a minig in Klal Yisrael, words were written by Rishonim, but he says, but it's called Zemiris because the words that we have are literally their words of praises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the niggun, when a person has a niggun, and a person repeats the niggun, and he tries to think about the words that are stated, Kad Yasvin Yisrael, when a person sings Yom Zeh Mechubed Mikol Yomim, then the Yom Zeh Mechubed with a niggun is a different type of Yom Zeh Mechubed. And he said one time there was a yeshiva baruch, they asked the stipler, he said, it's like, how could it be possible to sing Zemiris of Psukim when there's a Gemara? The Gemara says that a Sunni Banechuk Klizemer, the Gemara speaks about that you shouldn't make the Torah like a Klizemer, you shouldn't like turn it into songs. And the stipler was just, he just said, what are you trying to do over here? People want to, and they get a little bit of his iris, there's a little bit of joy. that we get, and it makes a person have an element of a deeper connection to the words, and you want to take that away from Klal Yisrael. The Chazon Ish was once sitting at a certain simcha, and they were singing, Yibane, Yibane, I don't know if they sang it with that niggun or not. They were singing the words, Yibane Beis HaMikdash, Meherav Yameinu, Zayn Chalkeinu V'Zeresecha, V'Sham Navot Chav Yer Kumei Olam. They were singing it for a long time. So one of the people that was there knew that the Chazon Ish was very much, his Torah was very important. So he said, should I try to get them to stop? Bittul Torah. And the Chazon Ish said, stop. They're building the Beis HaMikdash. The Chazon Ish understood when you're singing Yibane Beis HaMikdash, it's not just a niggun, it's not just a song. He says, Yibane Beis HaMikdash is a tefillah. When we sing the niggun of Yibane Beis HaMikdash, we're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should actually return the Beis HaMikdash to us. And Rav Gershon used to say a little bit more, he said that Zmiris, when a person sings Zmiris, so what he's doing is, the concept is that he's cleansing his heart. Avodah shebelev zu tefillah. But a person has to have what's called Tiras HaLev. So on Shabbos, when a person has more connection to Kedusha and Tyra, we say, V'taher libeinu la'ovdecha be'emes. When we're singing Nagunim, the Nagunim, Rabbi said, they raise up our hearts. And I just think about this when I was at the end of the Shavuos morning, the boys in Mechon Shlomo, we had a Kiddush afterwards, and Rabbi Trivitz, Shlitzer, Meir Trivitz, he sang a niggun, an old-time niggun, and the boys started singing, and then we started standing, and we started dancing together. And I remember in the days in Ner Yaakov, we would sing on the way to the Kaisel, we would sing at the Nila Sachag, Rabbi Sai, V'taher libeinu la'ovdecha be'emes. This week's parashas Nasai. We want to take away from Shavuos that we should continue to be from the people that are carrying the menorah, that are carrying the aron. We are the people that no matter how difficult the matzav seems to be, but we recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. We want to ask that the Rabbanu Shalom should be merapeh all the cholim, the Rabbanu Shalom should be machzor all the shvuyim, Klal Yisrael should be safe, b'chol makom shehem. We should be zeiche, Yibane Beis HaMikdash, Meherav Yameinu, V'sein Chalkeinu B'Seresecha, V'Shom Navotcha B'Yir K'mei Olam, V'Chshonim K'Adoniyos. Wishing everyone a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you very much for listening. We want to thank jfoundations.com. If you could sponsor any of our activities, it would be another way of addressing and being able to give over Torah to other people. Go on the website and show your support. Thank you very much for joining us.